Good morning and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. I'll bring you through the next hour as we talk Giants football. Rain in New Jersey has forced the Giants to move practice inside today. They'll be inside the field house here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. But they will be back outside tomorrow, sun willing, of course. And the practice will be open to the public for free, as usual, tomorrow morning, beginning at 10:55. Giants alums Keith Hamilton and Lewis Tillman, running back. Tillman, of course, played on the 1990 Super Bowl championship team. Keith Hamilton played on the 2000 NFC championship team. Both of those Giants alums will be on hand tomorrow to sign free autographs for all the fans. So come on out here to the Meadowlands parking lot. Again, parking's free, practice is free, and enjoy some cool Giants football. Now, we start off the week understanding that this is the week of the preseason opener. The Giants will be hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers on Friday night as they begin their quest for their fifth trophy for the case. Now, I will tell you this. There's no question that Coach Ben McAdoo, who has already shown us that he is going to pace and put many of his veterans on a pitch count, we'll see how he's going to do some of that this week. Giants will ramp up practice a little bit today, tomorrow, and then ramp it down as they prepare for Friday's game. We'll probably see some of the veterans some of the time, but he certainly has a lot of guys he wants to look at on the back end of the depth chart as the Giants try to figure out exactly who their 53 are going to be. Remember, this preseason, they're going to go all the way through with 90 until the four preseason games are in the books. Then they're going to slice it down to 53. So 37 guys will have to be removed from rosters all around the NFL. It's going to be a virtual ocean of players that are going to be released in one fell swoop right after that fourth preseason game. So we don't have any plans yet from Coach McAdoo as to exactly who will play and how long they will play in Friday's preseason opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We just know that that is game number one on the docket. Now, if you want to reach us here, you can get us on Twitter. @GiantsWFAN is my handle. You could also go to a hashtag Giants chat with any of your messages, and we'll try to get them read and taken care of here as we go through the show. You can also dial us up on the telephone, and that's the easiest way to do it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Now, before we do anything else, let me just go right to Twitter because I know there were a couple of people already trying to get in before the show even started. And for that, let me take a look here. I did see one earlier that I wanted to get to. And let's see here. The gentleman wanted to know about Michael Thompson. And I wanted to get this one out of the way quickly because Thompson has been the subject of quite a bit of conversation here over the last week or so as the Giants opened up training camp because he was a safety by trade at Texas, played a little bit of corner, a little bit of slot there, but came into the NFL supposedly to be a safety, has battled a number of health issues over the first couple of years, hasn't really been able to get on the field, and now here at this training camp, he is working exclusively at cornerback and a little bit of slot, but mostly outside cornerback. That's quite a position switch, especially for a guy who has been through some bumps and bruises. In any event, a Big Blue Fan 1321 wants to know how has Michael Thompson looked at cornerback? Well, he's moving well. I will tell you this. He brought a lot of speed and quickness when he got to the NFL. The injuries don't seem to have dissipated much of that. He still seems to be very athletic. He's very long. He's lanky. But he's still learning a new position. To say now you're going to play outside corner in the National Football League, that's quite an adjustment for a player who hasn't played much football the last couple of years and, to be honest, was a safety by trade anyway. But we do talk about him because if he proves that he is worthy of handling that spot, well, there is room on the depth chart for somebody to emerge as a backup corner. And certainly because of his previous experience in college at safety, he could wind up being the swingman the Giants need to put on the roster, like when they had Leon Hall last year. And he wound up playing some of all three positions, slot, corner, and safety. So it remains to be seen, but I will tell you this. There are four preseason games to be played, and Michael Thompson is going to get a lot of reps. He'll have a chance to earn his way onto the roster, but that's the key word, earn. If you don't earn it, You don't get a roster spot just willed to you. It's not a birthright now. You got to work for it. You got to go get it. And the performance that Mykal Thompson puts on the field will go a long way to determining if he's going to be on the Giants 53. Okay, folks, let's start the program off with caller number one at 201-939-4513. And it's line three, Bash from Ohio. You are first on the show. Hello.
How we doing, fellas?
Hey, Bash, what's going on?
Everything's good. I seen the unofficial death chart y'all put out this over the weekend, and I had a couple of three things pointed out to me I wanted to talk about.
Go right ahead.
All right. The first thing I seen, the Will Towers lines under that, the third string tight end. That was actually a shocking surprise to me. We wanted to get y'all thoughts on that one first as far as Will Towers being a third string.
Well, first off, I would say this, before you even go any further, and this is a good call to start the show off with, because the Giants released an unofficial depth chart. Now, that was put together by the public relations staff as they put together the game notes that prepare the media to cover Friday's preseason opener against the Steelers. There is nothing official about that depth chart. There is nothing in stone on that depth chart, and there's nothing that says the coach can't do whatever he wants to do come Friday's kickoff. So please understand what the writers were tweeting about over the course of the weekend with this unofficial depth chart was simply something for them to talk about. There's really no substance in it. But in reference to Will Ty, you have to understand, Evan Engram is a first-round pick. He has performed well to this point, so you'd have to figure that he's going to be high on that depth chart. And obviously, they signed Red Ellison as a free agent from the Vikings for a reason. You know he's going to be high on that depth chart. So should it be any surprise if Ty would be listed third or lower?
No. Surprise was that Will Ty is the third. I wasn't saying as far as the two over. I mean, as far as Will Ty being a third over LaCoste and Jarrell Adams, not saying that. I was understanding him being the third string over those two players, and he was thinking of the process where he was on the lowest of the depth chart
Will Ty has caught more passes in the NFL and had more snaps in the NFL than either Jarrell Adams or Matt LaCoste. So that doesn't seem to me to be very illogical either. Why wouldn't you put him there for now? At least, again, on an unofficial depth chart. By the time this whole thing is over, that is the preseason, we'll know what the depth chart really is going to say. But we're not going to know that quite yet.
Okay, and another player I've seen y'all just talking about, mentioned Mykal Thompson. I actually see that he's second right behind Eli Apple, so I guess he's progressing in the cornerback room as far as in OTAs and training camp and minicamp. So far, Mykal Thompson's looking good.
Well, I would only say this. I'm sure that the PR staff listed Thompson there because that's where he's taking the most snaps. I explained that just a moment ago as we opened the show. Thompson's getting a lot of reps out there. They're trying to find out if he's capable of handling that job. So he has an opportunity to earn it. It doesn't mean it's going to be given to him.
Okay, one more player was I've seen that they had Jay Bromley starting next to Snacks. So I guess his training camp may have been looking good as well.
Well, once again, Jay Bromley has played more snaps at defensive tackle for the New York Giants than either Dalvin Tomlinson, the rookie, or for that matter, Robert Thomas, who got here last year and missed half a season because of illness. That's the logical path here. The Giants have listed these guys in backup roles on the depth chart based on their number of snaps with the team. I think that's what's happened. It's simply a PR listing. This is to help the media cover the team so they know who they're looking at when they're watching the game. This has nothing to do with the coach's decisions.
Okay, got it. Understand that.
That's it?
Okay, clear. That was it.
Okay, Bash, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for the phone call.
All right, thanks, fellas.
We go to line number one, and Len from Columbia, you're next on the show. Hi, Len.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Great, man. A little disappointed it's raining today. We're going to have to go inside, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know, and today was I'm glad I came up last week. I was going to – you know, today was season ticket holder day.
Yeah.
And I guess it was just – I guess they had to postpone or – cancel or whatever because they're taking the team inside. It's
yeah, when the team when the team's inside, nobody else can go in there except for the media.
Yeah,
it is a shame, but I will tell you this: there are still four open practices available to the public. There are two this week, two coming up next week. before they actually close training camp. So if people still want to make it out here, they'll have a chance.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Listen, your reference to that single cut this preseason, I did a little quick arithmetic that anybody could have done, and geez, you got over 1,000 people gonna lose their job over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah,
that's kind of tough. A lot of broken dreams there. Of course, about 300 plus will get jobs back on the practice squad, but still, that's a lot of people with dreams shattered.
Yes.
After their cut on Saturday. Hey, listen, a couple of questions on the offensive line. What do you think of the possibility of the Giants only keeping 7 on that initial 53?
Ooh.
I know. But worth talking about, I think. Wheeler, Bisnotley, Dunker seem to be the three guys right on the edge there who might take that number 8 position, or maybe the number 8 position isn't even on the roster. I'm not sure any of them are really NFL ready, Paul. I mean, I'm not downgrading the players, other than to say a year in the weight room, practice squad,
Len,
maybe they're NFL ready.
Len,
maybe you use that spot for a 10th defensive back, a 10th defensive line.
I don't see any way they're going to keep as few as 7 O-linemen on the 53.
Okay.
And quite honestly, I think to put Bisnotley in a bin with Dunker and Wheeler is a horrible mistake. Bisnotley was a draft choice. They believe in him. He has shown a lot. He's right now is the number 2 right tackle on this team, working behind Bobby Hart. They've been very pleased with his attitude and his work ethic and what he has shown out there and how he scraps.
Yeah.
He's far ahead of any of the undrafted free agents you're talking about. So if you go with the starting 5 that ended last year, then you have Brett Jones, DJ Fluker, and Bisnotley. Right there, that's 8. That's 8.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way you're keeping less than those 8 guys.
I understand. I knew it was a stretch, but I was just concerned about maybe – I think we've got some depth at the other positions that maybe go beyond. We're going to be maybe cutting some guys at other positions that are going to find jobs right away in the
What's
NFL.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not sure that Bisnotley fits into that category quite yet. I'm not down on the pick. Don't get me wrong. I'm just wondering whether if everybody stays healthy, he's not getting a uniform.
Len, I got to help you out here, because you're stressing out over the fact that the Giants are going to cut good NFL worthy players. I would say to you, turn that coin around. It is outstanding that your favorite team is going to cut good NFL caliber players.
Yeah.
Because that tells you the Giants are a really good team. That is a problem you want to have. Parcells used to have
absolutely.
That problem every year.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I hear you. I understand. I know this was a little bit of a stretch. Let me ask you something about the center guard backup position. Jones, Geddes, and I guess maybe Jalapio. It's probably Jones, Paul.
Jones is the number 2.
In the lead at this point?
Jones is definitely the number 2 as far as I can tell, and he should be.
Okay.
Look at the body of work he's put out there. Albeit small, it was good.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Can I ask you a question about the defensive backs?
Sure.
You know, our top 5, man, would you trade them for any other top 5 from any other team? Holy cow. I mean, we really got 5 good ones, and good may be an understatement. That's really quite a group in that first 5.
Well, to be honest with you,
I don't think any other team could match those.
Why don't you go 6 and say the 3 corners and the 3 safeties, if you want to include Thompson and Adams both? I mean, you got 3 corners and 3 safeties that I don't think. Or can be rivaled by anybody in the league right now.
I would agree with that. And, every day you hear about this guy, Michael Hunter, knocking passes away, making plays, and you say to yourself, holy cow, maybe Michael Hunter is a heck of a player.
That would be great.
Another corner. Yeah, we're really stacked at the defensive back. Everybody stay healthy, please. listen, on Friday night against the Steelers, two people I'm going to be watching.
Right.
I want to watch Tomlinson. I'd like to see him emerge and really push for that starting spot. I know what the unofficial depth chart says with Bromley and so forth. But I'm going to be watching Tomlinson. I hope he can begin to make a statement for getting significant time, even in a rotational role as we go forward. And the other one is the running back Gallman. I'm kind of anxious to see Gallman what he can do, and also how they handle the short yardage situation.
Yes, that's a real key for me.
I guess that's Darkwa.
Darkwa or Gallman. Those two guys, I think, are going to get the first shot at the short yardage and the goal line spots in that backfield. And when you go back to the defensive tackle spot, let me just say something to you, Len. I think they'd like to bring Tomlinson along slowly if they have the luxury to do so. And if Robert Thomas has as good a preseason as he has an offseason and early part of training camp, they may be able to do that. Thomas may be able to step up off of what really was a lost season for him last year. And if he's able to give them the luxury of bringing Thompson along slowly, like when they brought Hankins along slowly several years ago, that would be the best case scenario. But if that doesn't work out, I think the Giants feel very good about Tomlinson's development. And if they got to push him along, maybe they push him along.
Yeah, good. Well, those are the two guys I'm going to be watching on Friday night, you know, that kind of thing. And, I never like to play the Steelers. It's always a physical game. That coach, they don't play dirty. I'm not talking in that direction, but they play real physical. You got to be ready to play a football game when you play them. I don't care if it's preseason or regular season. That's just what they do in Pittsburgh. And, it'll be fun. I can't wait to see live action. Oh, my gosh, Paul. Season is here. Hey, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
You got it. Take care, Len. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yes, bye.
We go to line four, and Dave from Cranford. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
How are you, Paul?
Good to talk to you. What's going on?
It's a must-listen whenever you're not only on Big Blue Kickoff Live, but when you're on The Fan or any other place.
You're always very kind.
It's always great when you're on.
I appreciate that.
Hey, Paul, we've talked about this before. It's interesting. I want to talk a little bit about Ingram and his impact. And you've made the comment, which I think is right on, that he can have an impact on the offense beyond his statistics. And I think that's very true. But I also think, there's something about how this guy is interviewed. You pick up a little bit of just his attitude, his smarts, just his overall demeanor. And I think, I think his statistics this year are going to be eye-popping. I really do, because when you look at even the first years when someone like Larry Donnell came in and started playing on the team, when Will Tye broke onto the team the first year, the amount of action that those guys got in the tight end position was significant. A lot of targets. I mean, Will Tye was like, I think his first year had close to 70 targets. I think you're going to see that number for Ingram be even higher. And I think his statistics, because of his speed and because of his red zone ability, are going to be eye popping. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think the more that he shows that he can do effectively during training camp, and this is not just my opinion, this is really coming from Coach McAdoo. The more that he shows that he can handle, the more they're going to put on him. And in fact, it was the other day when I think one of the plays that he ran, the route wasn't perfect, and I saw Coach McAdoo kind of get on him a little bit. And I said to myself, okay, that's because Coach McAdoo is seeing how well he's progressing, and he's being more demanding of him because they want to push him, they want to test him, they want to see if he really can get the whole enchilada as soon as possible. Because quite frankly, most guys, especially guys who primarily played a limited role in college, like he was a receiving tight end, we've talked about that a billion times, you wonder, is he really going to be able to handle the complexities of the NFL in multiple positions like they would like to use him in? So I think Ingram is really going to determine how big his playbook is based on his early preseason and then, of course, early regular season performance. I think that's the only fair way to go about this, don't you?
I totally agree. The other thing, Paul, I wanted to get your comment on is the running game. And as I see you, you know, you're there obviously a lot more than I've been. I've only been to one training camp.
Yeah, practice. I got a cot in the back.
Yeah, and you know, I keep seeing them run, Paul. We've talked about this before. I'd really like to see, and I know this is harder to do, but I hope with Ellison it's going to become something they can do, mm-hmm. which is run that outside zone as opposed to they seem to be, their running game seems to be, to me, so predictable.
Yeah.
With the guard trap up the middle. You know, and while that's been effective at times, I'd like to see if they can, you know, stretch the field a little bit and get to the outside. And I'd just like to see if what you think about that.
I love your comment because I don't think there is any question about this, and I've talked to the offensive linemen about it. They know that whatever running success they've had the last few years has been on a relatively simple few number of plays that kept it between the tackles. You're absolutely right. They have hardly run much stuff out to the sidelines because they just didn't have the personnel to do it. Now, yep. Ellison is a huge part of that. So absolutely, positively, you're right on the money. But I'm going to give you something else here. Brandon Marshall is a yep. really good blocker for a wide receiver and a better blocker, quite frankly, than Victor Cruz was. And when you consider now that he's going to be out on one of those edges, he's got the ability to help spring a back around the sideline to get 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 yards now because he's going to be an extra guy out there who's going to put a body on somebody and knock him out of the play. So it's not just Ellison. It's also Brandon Marshall too. I think he's going to be a much bigger part of this running game than most people will think. Because let's face it, this is a fantasy football world now. Everyone's going to look at Brandon Marshall, and they're going to look at his stat line, and they're going to measure his effectiveness by his stat line. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to measure his effectiveness by not just the catches that he has, not just the targets that he has, not just the touchdowns that he has or the average yards per catch. I'm going to measure his effectiveness also by how many key blocks does he make in the running game and how many times does he draw somebody else away from Ingram or Shepard or OBJ because they've got to worry about this tall target who Eli's taking a look at before he hits his secondary man. Those are the kinds of things that I'll be watching to truly figure out how effective Brandon Marshall is. And I'll share that stuff with you here as we go through the season because I know, you know, a lot of folks are not looking for that stuff. They're just going to look at the onion whole. You know, I like to peel back the onion.
I think your comments are right. I think the other interesting part is how much teams like to run to the right side, and I think the progression of Bobby Hart there, and there's been some good comments
Agreed.
About him getting out there. I think that's a big part. You put Ellison out there, Hart, you put a Marshall to that side, and maybe that power run to the right side could be something that could work real well.
Well, look at it this way. How about this? The Giants could even, okay, they could even potentially line up Ingram in the slot, okay? Now, everyone's going to think if they're going with Marshall, and they're going with OBJ, and now Ingram's in the slot as a tight end going out there, everybody's going to think that they're running the ball.
Yep.
But, let's say Marshall's on one side and Ingram and OBJ are on the other side. Let me tell you something. Whatever we think about Evan Ingram's progression as a blocker, there's one thing I do know. He is physically a lot bigger than most defensive backs in this league, especially corners in this league. So now they could easily run behind Ingram and have him throw the block and take a corner out and spring somebody to the outside. They don't have to throw a pass out of that formation now.
Great point.
So,
great point, Paul.
Thanks for the call.
You too, my friend.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 is our number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino with you. Also hit us up on hashtag Giants Chat at Twitter, or you can always reach me at Giants WFAN. Is that Brandon on line three? Up next on the show. Hello.
Yes, what's going on, Paul?
Hi.
Yeah, I want to talk about the offensive line. Now, I've been hearing a lot of good things about DJ Fluker. Now, is it possible, in your eyes, have you think he done enough to take over the right guard position for John Jerry? Because I like this to be the lineup for the opening night in Dallas. I want to be Flowers at left tackle, Pugh at left guard, Richburg at center, Fluker at right guard, and Hart at right tackle. Do you think it's possible that could happen?
I think it's possible, but I will tell you this. No job is going to be won after the first week and a half of training camp. They got 4 preseason games to show what they can do. Now, I will say this. The Giants' offensive line...
I heard they haven't given Fluker any opportunities to run with the one yet.
Well, he's been running with the second string offensive line at right guard and also has taken snaps at right tackle. Did some of that the other day, in fact, in particular, when they had the full day on Saturday. Here's the thing. The 4 preseason games are going to tell us a lot about what's going on with some of these guys. In fact, Coach McAdoo, and justifiably so, is going to weigh those game snaps heavier than anything that they do during training camp. He's got to, because that's where the real hitting is going to go on. We all know training camp has been watered down, and there's not a lot of hitting at all. In fact, there's no tackling, period. So if Fluker's going to wrestle that job away from John Jerry, he's going to have to show that he's kicking people's butt in those 4 preseason games. And do I think it's possible? Sure, I think it's possible, because Fluker is motivated beyond belief. He wants that job.
Right.
So I think he can do it. Do I think that John Jerry can hold him off? I'll tell you what. I think John Jerry has proven over his 3 years or so with the Giants as a starter that he is a capable guard, even though he's a much better pass blocker than a run blocker, and they've won with him. Look, they won 11 games with John Jerry as the starting right guard last year, right? They made the playoffs. I mean, John Jerry's okay. But if Fluker is better...
I just feel like Fluker is a more physical guard.
Fluker is a much better run blocker. He is a force. He is a road grader. He is a power player. He is a mauler. I love DJ Fluker. But he's going to have to show it consistently in the 4 preseason games if they're going to reward him with the starting job. He's got the opportunity. I would not bet against him. But I would also tell you, John Jerry, as a result of this competition, is going to fight like heck to keep that job too. And the Giants come out winners because either Fluker pushes Jerry to be better or Fluker seizes the job and the Giants are better by him being in the lineup.
I think that's possible.
And sure, it's possible.
I believe that line would be a much better physical line with Fluker at the right guard position.
Well, I'll tell you what, don't be disappointed if it doesn't happen right away, because there's always a chance that over the course of time, let's say it's game 3, 4, 5.
They have to put him in there and run with the ones and see what he could do with
it. At some point.
Build some type of relationship with Bobby Hart.
Well, at some point, Fluker could win that job. Sure.
And Pugh like him too.
Here's the thing. Until John Jerry slips up a bit, to this point, he's done nothing to lose the job. He's the incumbent, and he's had a nice offseason, too. And he's had a pretty good training camp, too. So, you know, you can't just say, oh, guess what, John? We're going to give away a bunch of your first-team snaps because we're going to bend over backwards to let DJ Fluker beat you out. That wouldn't be fair either. You want this to be a competition.
You want it to be competition.
And so what you do is you tell the incumbent, we brought in a guy behind you who's going to push you really hard. And if we see any drop off in your play, we're going to start giving him first team reps and we're going to give him that chance to then overtake you. You give the incumbent the opportunity to hold on to the job first. You always try to do that as long as he's an adequate player. Now, if he's not an adequate player, then you bring in some other guy and you immediately start giving him starting reps because within days, it's clear he's going to take the job. I don't think this competition is that clear-cut yet, especially since Jerry is better in pass protection. At least he's shown that over the last few years. And remember, if you don't protect Eli Manning, your season is probably going to go down the tubes.
Right, that's the most important thing.
Well, it is. DJ's got to show that he can also get his pass protection up.
Have you been getting better in pass protection?
DJ, to this point, he's exactly what I thought he was. A very, very dominant and physical and ferocious force run blocking. But pass blocking, he still needs to work on some technique, and he knows that. He's still learning stuff here with the Giants that he did not necessarily learn in San Diego. So he's a work in progress. But again, I would not be surprised if at some point this season he seizes that job. It could certainly happen because he wants it. He is so hungry. And I'm not just talking about his belly either.
All right, man. All right, thank you, man. I just hope that he can be the starting guard.
Thank you so much for the phone call. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Quickly get to a couple of tweets. I know you guys are trying to reach out to me here. We have A.J. Marshall talking about safety. Eric Perkins says he's one of the players I'll be watching in the preseason. Certainly welcome to do so. The Giants do have a number of safeties with experience ahead of him, you know, between Thompson and Adams and Collins and Inacho. They got a bunch of guys ahead of them, but, you know, Perkins is certainly trying to win a job, at least on the practice squad, if nothing else. So, by all means, this is why, folks, for those of you who detest the preseason and who really don't want to pay much attention to it, you're missing the boat. When you have a good team like the Giants, the bigger questions on your roster are actually the depth chart questions. We pretty much know, for the most part, who the 22 starters are going to be. So, that's boring. There's nothing there. The big key, all right, the big key, the thing that you want to be looking at are all the other guys on the back end of the roster, on the back end of the 90, and figure out how many of those guys are going to make the 53 and where are they going to slide in on the depth chart. That's what makes this preseason so incredibly exciting. I am so jacked up. I'm like a big box of TNT about this preseason. Because there's so much to be decided on the field by the competition at the back end of the depth chart. So get into it. You really do yourself a favor on that. All right, let's go back to Giants chat for just a second and see if there's somebody over there who wants to tell us something. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. Freddie wants to know, do you think Shepard or Ingram will have more touchdown catches this season? Well, based on the fact that Sterling Shepard already knows the offense like the back of his hand since he's been here, I would probably bet on Sterling Shepard. But I shouldn't use that word bet. I would lean towards Sterling Shepard. At the same time, if Ingram's progression is even faster and better than what they anticipate, it's certainly plausible that he could have more touchdown grabs than Shepard. That's kind of like a 50-50 proposition there. I don't know that I'd be going to Nevada and putting any lettuce down on either one of those. All right, let's go back to the phones, and I believe we have Victor on line two from Florida. What do you say, Vic? How you doing?
Okay, Paul. Listen, we were talking about the tight end position a little while ago, and, you know, I haven't been hearing too much about Jarrell Adams. I mean, we drafted him 2 years ago. How's he doing anyway?
He's healthy. He's been out there on the practice field taking all the reps that all the tight ends have been getting. There's doing a lot of rotation with these guys, and they're lining them up everywhere, you know, because they don't want just the versatility out of Ellison or Ingram. They want Lacoste to be versatile. They want Adams to be versatile. They want to know that if they're going to keep as many as four tight ends on the roster, that at any time, any one of these guys can go in and fill one of the roles in their playbook without having to pare things down. So I would say this. The guys who have been more noticeable of the tight end group have been Ingram and have been Lacoste. They've been more noticeable by the passes and the openings that they have found in the secondary and in the seams. They seem to have done more in the passing game that has been noticeable during the first week and a half of training camp. So that may be the answer to your question.
I certainly hope, Paul, that they keep Lacoste. I mean, if they cut him or they let him go, I'll be very disappointed.
So would I.
With that said, I just hope he makes the team. That's all.
Now, Vic, hold on. Before you go anywhere, I got a package from you here at the facility.
Yeah.
You got a Super Bowl 21 program in there, and a New York Post, which was published the day after the Giants beat the Broncos. Interesting stuff
right.
to go through, of course. And I do appreciate you sending them along so I could take a look at it. I'm going to have them back to you by the end of the week so that you can continue to enjoy them over the years. But it's always great to look at those Parcells teams. Anything about those teams is always fun because that was a real golden era of Giants football.
Yeah. Did you see my tattoo?
Yes, I did. Now, you don't expect – let me just say this. I don't know how many needles or pinpricks it took to do that, but God bless you because I don't care for needles at all. I will tell you, I'm not a needle guy.
I simply love Big Blue. I love him to death. Okay, Paul, listen, thank you for your receiving my call, and I'll be talking to you, okay?
You got it, Vic. Take care of yourself down there in Florida. Thank you so much. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, we go to Mike on line 4. He is also in Florida. Mike, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, you got to help me respond to both a bunch of Eagles fans and some Green Bay Packers fans.
Okay.
And they're not attacking the offensive line. They're attacking the Giants' defensive line. And the Eagles fans say something like this. That the Eagles' tackles nullify the Giants' defensive ends. Okay? Hold on now. Now we go to the Packers. Packer fans have said that their line, which was kind of makeshift in the playoff and everything else, that they just dominated the Giants' defensive line, that there was no pass rush, and that they had like a rookie guy at right tackle.
All right.
Take care of whoever we had. So their response to how well the Giants are going to do, now, the Eagle fans, you can expect them to really knock the Giants down. They say the Giants are going to only win 6 games. The Packers fans think that the Giants are going to go 50-50 because they say that the 2016 schedule, as they understood it, was one of the softer ones in the league, that the 2017 schedule is much tougher, and they're citing the West Coast.
Well, it is for the whole division, though, Mike. The rotation says you're going to play your own division, which is incredibly difficult, plus the AFC West, which is the second toughest division in football. So
yep.
Everybody is going to be facing those guys. It would not be shocking if 9-7 wins this division this year because of all the difficult games that all of these teams are going to have to play.
Well, Paul, I agree with that. But one of the things that bothers me is that if the Eagles fans are right and the...
Well, first of all, they're not right, and you should tell them that they need to spend time shining their Super Bowl trophies.
Well, it doesn't matter because that's a one-time event. That's what they keep telling me. And I've had friends in New England tell me, you know, hey, the Giants got lucky winning the Super Bowls. But
yeah.
They're just simply saying that the Giants don't get a pass rush up the middle, that the tackles get nullified by Peters and Johnson. That's the Eagles' statement. And the other is the Green Bay guys say, hey, we had a makeshift line dominate your high-priced defensive line.
Well, you know, here's the problem with that Packer game. There's no question that in the second half, as Rodgers was able to carve up the battered secondary because DRC was not in there, that was the biggest difference, by the way, in that game was Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie having to leave because of injury. And quite frankly, if you go back to that game and look, Rodgers bought a lot of time with his feet. It wasn't like the Giants' ends weren't getting pass rush at all. Rodgers did a great job. In fact, I would say Aaron Rodgers played probably his best game of the season in that Giants playoff game. You could argue, of course, what he did against Dallas in a playoff game, too. But he was darn good in the second half and did some miraculous things with his feet to buy time and make throws. And again, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie not being in there was crippling. You must also understand that JPP didn't play in that game. So one of their two high-priced defensive ends was not there. So the Giants were at half strength going with Olivier Vernon, you know, who, again, by that time of the year, you got to understand, he had played over 95% of the snaps, and now he is the lone superstar headline pass rusher on the line. Is he really supposed to be able to get 3.5 sacks under those circumstances?
Probably not.
So, I mean, but let me just say this. The Packers played better than the Giants that day, especially in the second half, and they deserve to win that playoff game and move on. And they did. I don't think the Giants have any shame for what happened that day. They did not play well enough to win for four quarters, and they went home, and they know that. And that's part of the motivation to come back this year and to try to do better. Remember, though, nobody predicted the Giants to win 11 games last year and make the playoffs like they did. So was that not a successful season? Did you not have fun with six fourth-quarter comeback wins during the course of the year?
Enjoyed it immensely.
Well, there you
enjoyed
go.
It immensely.
There you go. And by the way, how did the Eagles fans enjoy their playoff game last year?
Well, when I chat, and these are a bunch of retirees, so it's all emails and type of stuff.
There you go. Well, I'm just trying to give you a couple of lighthearted feet.
Quarterback.
I'm just giving you some lighthearted darts to throw at him. That's all.
The other one I got is from, this is from some family out in the San Diego area. They said that Rivers really got beat up, and Fluker was one of the guys that didn't protect him well, and that's why Fluker and I guess one other guy of their starting team was let go. So what you're saying about him being a run blocker is correct. Pass blocking, apparently, not good.
I'm glad. No. I'm glad you called. I'm glad you called because I went back, and you know I'm a film study guy. I went back and I looked at Chargers tape. I got cut-ups on Fluker, and I watched DJ Fluker's, the supposed sacks he was charged with last year. Okay? He was beaten for his five sacks. He was beaten on one by a swim move. He was beaten on one rip, and he was beaten on one bull rush. Three sacks, legit, true, physically, he didn't get it done. I agree with that. Another sack, he was asked, as he was playing right guard, they had him pulling out to the left side, and they wanted him to pick up the pass rusher who was on the left shoulder of the left tackle. Now, if you've ever seen DJ Fluker at 6'5 and 355 pounds as the weight he played at last year, I think even you would know not to do that. That's not on him. He had no chance to pull out and catch that pass rusher in time. He had no chance. And it's foolish to expect that he would. So I'm going to put that sack on the coordinator for calling that protection. I'm not calling that out on DJ Fluker. Okay? So let's take that one off the board. The other sack that he was charged with, okay, had to do with a stunt. He was playing right guard. He had his right shoulder, he had his right tackle, and the opposite team ran a tackle end twist. There was clearly a miscommunication between Fluker and his tackle, and Fluker thought that he was going to take a step back and pick up the guy who was running around the outside on the twist, and the tackle was supposed to ride the defensive end into the line of scrimmage and collapse him. But that's not what happened. The tackle didn't realize clearly there was a miscommunication. So when Fluker took his step and he gave up some room, they did the twist. The tackle did not work in cohesion with Fluker. And that left an open space where the right guard was, where Fluker originally was. The guy comes through and gets the sack, and Fluker is made to look bad on a play where I believe there was a miscommunication and his tackle actually was the one who made the bad play. That's what happens when you watch film.
That's good, Paul. Well, I hope that he is a viable backup. I agree with your earlier statement that Jerry has done nothing to lose the job, and I hope Fluker pushes Jerry to become an even better player.
I think that would be a very good thing.
Hey, thank you for your time, Paul.
No problem.
Thank you for the update on Fluker. Really appreciate that.
No problem. Enjoy very much your breaking down film. It's one of my hobbies. You guys know that. 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino with you. Let's go back to the phones. I guess we're at line three, and Joe from Pennsylvania, you are next on the show. Hello.
Hey there, Paul. You're doing a great job there.
Thank you, Joe.
To our last caller, if our offense can make the stride the defense did last year, Paul, or even half of it, you know, we'll be all right, you know, barring injuries. So that's what I want to say to that.
Now, well, you know, let's see them get up to about 24 points a game even, all right, because last year they had trouble scoring 20. If you can get them up to the 24-25 range, and you know this defense probably isn't going to give up more than 17 or 18 a game, that should put the Giants in really good shape, right?
Yeah, I forget how many games we held the opponents under 20 points last year. I think it was close to about 10 at least.
I'll get that number for you because offhand I don't recall.
No,
but go ahead.
Well, what I want to talk about, Paul, is the guys that's on the bubble and dealing with the receivers and that. I know a lot mentioned, like even the other day, our coach McAdoo mentioned that on the offense that there's a lot of guys on the bubble there, and I was just trying to pick out who he's thinking about. And I know Will Tye's definitely one there. And I was wondering about Dwayne Harris, because I know he's not cutting it on the receivers with the depth chart we have if everybody stays healthy. And I was just wondering, do you think he's a shoe-in to make it regardless with his special teams?
All right, first up, eight teams during the regular season scored 20 or more on the Giants than the Packers, of course, did in the playoffs. So that's your number for that. In terms of the wide receivers, look, I think we all know that outside of Shepard, Marshall, and OBJ, the depth chart is still open to competition. There are three guys who have their cement on this roster, and those are the three guys I just mentioned. And that should come as no surprise to you. You know, Tavares King, Lewis, whether it's Powell, whether it's Travis Rudolph, you know, whoever it turns out to be, those guys got to fight. And Dwayne Harris, to me, as long as he's healthy through the preseason and he shows that he can be the productive return guy that he was 2 years ago, I think he has a spot on this roster. And I don't think he has to worry about it. And I also don't think they want him to play wide receiver. I think they just want him to concentrate on kick returns, concentrate on being a gunner. And if he does that job to the best of his ability, they'll be very happy with the value they get out of him. And listen, leave the wide receiver snaps alone. Maximize what you do on special teams, because that's a third of the game, and it's going to be a big part of the game this year with the difficulty that the Giants are going to face this year on the schedule. Special teams may have a bigger role than even we imagine. So let Harris excel and get back to a Pro Bowl level on special teams, and then let the receivers do what they got to do and hope that somebody on the back end really emerges as the fourth and the fifth guy.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, too, I forget the guy's name that's really speedy there that may give him a lot of competition on the specialty teams there, the one wide receiver.
Kevin Snead? The 4-2-2 guy? Kevin Snead is a smurf. He's a real small fella who has tremendous blazing speed, but a limited amount of college experience, and we've seen that out here on the practice field as he tries to learn the playbook and run the right routes. We've also seen him have a lot of trouble holding on to the ball on kick returns. These are difficult things he's going to have to overcome in a hurry if he's even going to make it as a practice squad player.
Yeah, there's one other wide receiver there, Paul. I'm forgetting his name.
Well, Travis Rudolph from Florida State is a guy
that
most of us have already talked about, and it was easy to pick him as the lead dark horse to make this team. Now Rudolph is not a blazer. That's not his game, okay? He could be everything that Jeremy Davis was supposed to be but did not develop into. That's what kind of guy Travis Rudolph is. He's a possession receiver who's strong, physical, fearless, good hands, a lot of desire, great work ethic. It'd be nice to see him make the team, but he's got four preseason games to show that he belongs.
Well, I thought he was up there in the depth charts there, like, you know, recently there, even getting in with the starting unit where somewhat when King was down there and who's our guy there was hurt with the ankle there.
Well, Shepard went down with the ankle, and yeah. Then King went down with the ankle, and so who are you going to go to? Well, obviously,
right.
Lewis and Rudolph were the next guys up, but even Darius Powell has had a bunch of snaps,
yeah.
And some even with the starters during the last week or so. I mean, the Giants got to find out. This is why.
Yeah.
Please, Joe, watch every preseason snap.
Oh, definitely.
Soak
it
in. One
other guy I just want to mention, Paul, there, he's not on offense. Well, he does play offense back and forth. Do you think he's a shoo-in to make this team, Herzlick?
A shoo-in?
I think
he's got to perform. He's got, once again, he's got to show that he belongs. I think it's fair to say that anybody on the back end of the depth chart at any of these positions is a bubble guy, because if somebody outperforms them during the four preseason games, they're going to be at jeopardy of losing their job. I think it's certainly fair to say.
I know he does a good job on special teams.
I think he's one of the best four or five special teams players and has been for several years. I would never question his value on specials. But now, you know, at the same time, he has to continue to show that he can be counted on as a backup linebacker. And whether or not he ever plays tight end in a game is kind of irrelevant. To me, his value, number one, is on specials. And number two would be as a smart, studious backup linebacker who understands the playbook and would never make a mental error on the field. That's where he's got to prove his worth.
I just want to give one clap my hands to Flowers. I heard he had his best practice there on Saturday, so you got to give the guy stand up for him there. That he did a good job Saturday.
The arrow's pointing up. Thanks, Joe.
Call, Paul.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We've got 6 minutes left in the program. If you want to hop on, Mike from Long Island, you are on line number one. Hello.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I want to discuss the offensive line, specifically the left tackle. From my understanding right now, the only competition for Eric Flowers is Chad Wheeler.
That is the primary competition. It would be my opinion, and no one has said this yet because it is so premature, but it is my opinion, if the Giants went into the regular season and had to replace Eric Flowers because of an injury, if something happened to him and he had to come out of the game, it is my opinion that Justin Pugh would slide outside to left tackle, and then you would have Jerry and Fluker both playing, because one guy would be the left guard, DJ Fluker, and John Jerry would be the right guard. That's what I think would happen if Flowers were to get hurt.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into, because according to the temporary depth chart, they have Chad Wheeler, who I don't even think is going to make the team. You know, traditionally they go with eight offensive linemen, which would include Brett Jones, Fluker, and the new guy they drafted.
There's nobody. There's nobody. Yeah. See, Wheeler, they could go nine. It's not eight or nine. You could really go either way there. It's not unheralded to go with eight or nine. But here's the thing. Right now, they're working Wheeler at left tackle to be the potential backup, a developmental player, if you will. And there's nothing wrong with doing that because Justin Pugh knows the position. It's not like he needs extra snaps out there. So they're trying to see what Wheeler can give them. And quite honestly, they're also trying to find out if there is a project really there to be developed. Because if there is, then even if he doesn't make the 53, they're going to want to put him on the practice squad. And if they determine after a month that there's not enough there, well, then they got to move on and they got to find somebody else so they can develop.
Yeah, but right now, let's assume during the season Eric Flowers has an injury.
Then Pugh's
right
playing
now,
left tackle.
They're going to push Pugh to left tackle, which he hasn't played for how long? A long time.
Look, I'm not going to.
Do you think that's the best strategy going forward?
It's by far the best strategy, but that doesn't mean it's a great one, okay? The good news is if that happens, you have Fluker and Jerry, who are both very capable of holding down the starting lineup at their guard spots. That's the good news. And you know that Justin Pugh is so intelligent, so smart, so versatile that he could probably get by playing left tackle if he had to. I agree with you. It's not the best case scenario. You don't want that to happen. You want Ereck Flowers to play 16 games, and you want him to show improvement. You want him to be better. Of course you do. But
so in the preseason games right now going forward, the only guy they're going to have at left tackle other than Flowers is going to be Chad Wheeler.
I would think those are the two guys who are going to get the most reps at left tackle. They may have somebody else who they want to try to fling out there for a little bit and get some snaps. But I think seriously, they've got to figure out if Wheeler is good enough to be the number two or if he's good enough to be a developmental player. They got to find that out. They brought him here because they think he is, but they don't know.
What about this Jarren Jones? They said that they want to try him at left tackle.
He has played both sides of the line during the early portion of training camp, and he's quite frankly a developmental player. He's been trying to maximize his versatility by playing both sides of the line. And again, that's an admirable thing to do, you know, but I think he understands that coming into camp, Wheeler was going to get the first shot out there. Coming from a huge program like USC, the Giants made him one of their top priority free agent signees, so you have to know what the pecking order is. Look, if Jones winds up having a totally kick-butt preseason, I'm sure they'll shift the depth chart around. Remember, this is all about proving who's going to earn what. That's what. Watch the games, please. Please, so many people don't. Watch these preseason games. There's a lot to learn.
Every preseason game, I watch it 10 times.
I love it. I love it.
So you think that there's a possibility of them going with 9 offensive linemen?
It could happen. It could happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right,
good
sure thing. No problem. Very, very glad to have that conversation. That just about does it. We've got a final minute to go. Let me see if I can grab a couple of tweets here just before we sign things off. John Smith says, "Happy Monday. I'm Big Blue Kickoff Live." Well, happy Monday to you. Wants to know, do the Giants need more depth on the offensive line and maybe bringing in a veteran corner? Well, we've talked about the offensive line a lot over the last several months. We talked about it again here today. I don't think that conversation's going to stop. You know, what you want to see is continued improvement, and they've already shown that the arrow is up through the first week and a half of training camp. Veteran corner. You know, the guys available right now on the street, Brandon Flowers, former Charger, is the best one available. He is coming off concussion. And to this point has not signed anywhere. And I suspect that if he would sign somewhere, he would probably want to be competing for a top two job, first or second job on the roster, or maybe the third corner. We already know the Giants have three corners locked in. Anybody who comes in or who's competing right now, they're competing to be the fourth corner. To some people, that's not an attractive position to be competing for. They want to compete for something higher. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if these guys aren't able to seize the moment that they do wind up bringing in somebody else as the fourth corner. And finally, let's just see here. If there's anybody else before we kick it out for the rest of the day, we'll go to Giants chat and see if we have one final comment before we send it out. I like this one. Luis Christian says, "Green Bay's offense comes down to one big scramble drill." Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers certainly did a real good job of that in the playoff game. There is no question about it. All right, folks, remember, rain has moved practice inside today. Practice open to the public tomorrow, sun willing, beginning at 10:55 here at the Quest Diagnostic Center. Parking is free. Attendance is free. Come out and see legends Keith Hamilton and Lewis Tillman. Get your free autographs, and, of course, tonight, 6 o'clock, I'll have MSG's Training Camp Live with Giants legend Amani Toomer join us for a half hour of Giants fun. Big Blue Kickoff Live, back your way, 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow here on Giants.com. That'll do it. We'll see you next time.